Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home, we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. How does God want us to worship Him? How are we to love God? How are we to serve Him? And living in a world that is diverse and coming to a situation where there's going to be a one-world religion, and we'll bring some more on that. But what I'm doing is bringing you the background and the history to it to show that the Babylonian religion started at the Tower of Babel, and when we come to the book of Revelation, it is called Babylon the Great, because all of the religions will come together in unity through diversity, accepting each other as they are, and that there are many ways to God, many philosophies, many religions, and we're all going to the same place. Isn't that wonderful? However, Jesus said that He was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. And so a one-world religion rejects that. And we're going to see that Christianity in the world today is denying God the Father, Jesus Christ, and is in a headlong slide clear into oblivion. That's why you need the book, Lord, What Should I Do? How are we to live and worship and serve God in a world that it is like today? What are we to do? Well, the thing is, you're to start in your own home. And that's why Church at Home. Because as we have seen, they've taken God out of government, they've taken God out of Christianity, they have removed Christ, they have substituted it with a different Christ, and it all comes from the old ancient Babylonian and Baalism and Ashtaroth worship. Now, the Apostle Paul also confronted this too in Athens. And the philosophers wanted to know, what was he teaching? This seems to be some sort of new teaching of a strange God. And so the Apostle Paul laid out for them a real gigantic problem that they had. See, because you can't find God through philosophy. You can't find the purpose of life through atheism. You can't find the purpose of life with the philosophy of let's eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy ourselves. Nor can you find God with a harsh treatment of the Stoics, where you would fast and beat the flesh and deprive yourself and live in caves. No, you have to come to God His way. And this is what the Apostle Paul was teaching there in Athens. So they wanted to know, they wanted to hear Paul. So let's come to Acts 17 again. And let's see that Athens in that day was just like we have today. Everyone has an opinion. And since we're all so important and our opinions are worth so much, we're all little gods. Now let's read it, beginning here in verse 21. They wanted to know what these things meant. Now all the Athenians and the strangers sojourning among them spent their leisure in nothing other than to tell and to hear something new. Sounds like the news 24/7 today. You got to hear the news, the news, the news. Everybody's telling this and that and the other thing. So Paul was asked to explain what his teachings were. Then Paul stood in the center of Mars Hill, right there at the temple of Zeus and Athena. Pure Satanism for what it is. Satan's religions and philosophies. And Paul was invited to speak there. Would just be like the same thing if a true minister of God were invited to speak at St. Peter's Basilica. What do you think he would say? Well, something very similar to this. You think with all these idols and everything you have there that you're worshiping God? No, here's what Paul said. He said, "Men Athenians, I perceive that in all things you are very reverent to deities. For as I was passing through and observing the objects of your veneration, I also found an altar on which was inscribed, 'To the unknown God.'" Oh, yes, we've got to worship all the gods, to this one, to that one, to the other one. Now, maybe if we forgot one, let's put up a little plaque. To the unknown God. Let's make sure that we worship the unknown God. So then, he whom you worship in ignorance is the one that I proclaim to you. He is the God who made the world and all things that are in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth. He does not dwell in temples made by hands, nor is he served by the hands of men, as though he needs anything, for he gives to all life and breath and all things. Now, this was a revelation to them. See, because even though they believed in somewhat of a creation, they did not believe in the God of creation, and they believed also in evolution. So Paul says, "I'm preaching to you the God who created everything." And we know, as we have seen in the segments, who was Jesus, that he was the one who made and created everything. He was the one who was the Lord God of the Old Testament. Now Paul goes on and he says here, verse 26, "And he made of one blood all the nations of men to dwell upon the face of the earth, having determined beforehand their appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." Just like we covered clear back there in Genesis 11, God was to send them to their inheritance, and they didn't want to go. So they made the Tower of Babel. And now this religion has come down to the Greeks, from Babylon to Persia to Greece. Now, here's why he put people where they were: in order that they might seek the Lord, if perhaps they might feel after him and might find him, though truly he is not far from each one of us. No, we can seek the true God any time if we're willing to believe him and love him and serve him and repent and come to him on his terms. Now notice what Paul said. He made it clear. All these other gods that you have up here are nothing. The monument to the unknown God is nothing. You need him. And you need to understand your very life and being is totally dependent upon him. Notice verse 28. "For in him we live and move and have our being." Yes. Everything that we have and are and the world that we live in all comes by the creation of God. Now, he goes on to show that even some of their poets had an inkling of some of this understanding, as some of the poets among you have said, "For we are his offspring." Now, Paul used this as an entrance to preach Jesus Christ to them, so that they could hear the gospel, a witness to them of who God was, who Jesus Christ was, and what God is doing now with repentance and baptism and his Holy Spirit. This is quite a message. Verse 29, "Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we should not think that the Godhead is like that which is made of gold or silver or stone or a graven thing of art devised by the imagination of man." And where was he? Right there on Mars Hill, where they had all of the carvings of the gods in stone. He took it right to them, didn't he? "For although God has indeed overlooked the times of this ignorance, he now commands all men everywhere to repent." And that's what it is today. God calls upon all to repent of their religions, to repent of their sins, to repent of their way, and get the word of God and come back to God. That's why church at home, you can do it at home. You're not going to find it in your local church on the corner. You're not going to find it in your cathedral. You're not going to find it in your synagogue, because God has been chased out of there long, long, long ago. And if you do find something about him, it's only part of it. So you need the whole story. So God says you need to repent. Verse 31, because he set a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, having given proof to all by raising him from the dead. Now, this is exactly the same message that Peter told and preached to the Sanhedrin. An amazing thing. You see, the gospel is the same to the Jews or to Gentiles. Now let's come to Acts, the fifth chapter. Christianity was sweeping through Jerusalem, and all the religious leaders of Judaism and the Sanhedrin wanted to stop this because they could see that they were going to lose everything. So they had Peter and John arrested and put in prison. And an angel came at night and let them out and said, go in the temple and preach. So when the guards came in the morning to get them to bring them to the Sanhedrin so they could be questioned, they didn't find a thing. All the locks were still there, but they weren't there. Then someone came and told them, look, these men are preaching in the temple. So they went and got them and brought them before the Sanhedrin. Because, see, there were thousands and thousands and thousands that were believing and being healed. This was something. But notice, I want you to understand the gospel that Peter preached and the gospel that Paul preached are identical. There wasn't one for the Jews and one for the Gentiles because they were different. The gospel was the same. Notice what Peter said and John said to the Sanhedrin. Verse 27, and they brought them in and set them before the Sanhedrin, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not order you by a direct command not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings with the purpose of bringing this man's blood upon us. Oh, yes, they knew they were wrong. But see, if you're stuck as a religious leader in a religion, be it fundamentalism or evangelicalism or Catholicism or Judaism or Orthodoxism or whatever other ism, it's mighty, mighty, mighty hard for the leaders to admit they're wrong and for the leaders to admit they have deceived the people and for the leaders to admit that they have gone the way of Babylon the Great. Which Judaism did. You need the book, Judaism, a revelation of God or a religion of man. You need to understand about Judaism. Just as well, you need to understand about the paganism of Babylon the Great through the two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. You need to understand what's going on in the world of religion, or you're going to be deceived and confused and follow right along with the one world religion of unity through diversity. Verse 29, we are obligated to obey God rather than men. Now think of that. That is true. The traditions of men are vanity and nothing before God and are null and void and have no force at all. What is the tradition you have been following? What religion is it that you have been following? Now, we saw the encounter that Paul had with the philosophers who were the religious leaders of his day in paganism. Now, here, previous to Paul being called, Peter and the other apostles were witnessing to the leaders of Judaism, to the high priest and the whole Sanhedrin. Now notice what they said. Notice what they told them. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on the tree. Because the cross was not a cross like shown in all the movies showing Jesus carrying his cross. It was a tree in the ground with big iron hooks to hold a crossbeam. So that's why he says a tree. And the part that Jesus carried was the crossbeam, where they nailed his hands and then lifted him up, put him on that tree, and then nailed his feet. Verse 31, Him has God exalted to his right hand to be a prince and savior, to give repentance and remission of sins to Israel and to the whole world, because Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. Verse 32 now. And we are as witnesses of these things, as is also the Holy Spirit, which God has given to those who obey him. You must obey God the Father and Jesus Christ and keep their commandments. Otherwise, you can't receive the Holy Spirit. So you need to think on that. You need to understand that. So he's telling this to those leaders of Judaism who followed the traditions of men, rejecting the commandments of God and rejecting God. And he said, we are obligated to obey God rather than men, because the Holy Spirit is not given unless you do. Notice what they did when they heard this. They were cut to the heart and took counsel to put them to death. Get rid of them, the enemies. How dare they be against us? So this is the same gospel. Well, then Gamaliel, he stood up and said, now look, if this is of men, it'll come to nothing. If it's of God, you can't stop it. So what they did, they beat them and let them go. Let's come here to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. Let's see what Paul was confronted with, just like we're confronted with today. And this is why we have the Bible. So we can read it, we can know it, we can learn from it, we can believe it. It is the truth of God. And if you would really understand it, the Bible is God's personal message to you. Will you search out the truth? Will you believe the Word of God? Will you repent as Paul commanded? Will you repent as Peter commanded? Will you understand and realize there's no other name given under heaven whereby you may be saved than the name Jesus Christ, the true Jesus, the one who is God manifested in the flesh? Now remember how we covered how that God told the children of Israel when they had the Word of God, the law given by Moses, they were not to go to the right hand and they were not to go to the left hand. They were not to add to, they were not to take away from. And what is it that most Christian ministers in the pulpit say today? The law has been done away. That's taking away from. And then they add in their own version of it. So they were doing it in Paul's day. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter in verse 17. For we are not like the many. There were many doing it in Paul's day. So no wonder that the Christianity we find in the world today is a complete distortion from original Christianity. A complete satanic fake counterfeit. Oh, yes, they read from the scriptures. Oh, yes, they use the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, there are some pretty good preachers. But when it gets down to keeping the commandments of God and loving and serving God, they miss the mark. And they jump right into the cauldron of Satan's Christianity of Sunday and Christmas and Easter and New Year's and all the pagan holidays. That's why you need the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which? Because these occult holidays are not of God. They're from Satan the devil. These are counterfeits, which is paving the way for the coming one world religion. And it's coming. We're going to see that. Now, I know that I'm taking quite a circuitous route to get to it, but I want you to understand where it came from. I want you to understand who is behind it. I want you to understand that Satan the devil is there busy trying to make these things happen and amalgamating the religions. Even one person labeled it as Chrislam. We've already covered that. Come over here to chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry, which came directly from Jesus Christ, according as we have received mercy, we are not faint-hearted, for we have personally renounced the hidden things of dishonest gain, not walking in cunning craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, we are commending ourselves to every man's conscience before God. And that's the very reason why this ministry of Church at Home, right there, defines it in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. And this is what God wants us to do. We need to bring the unadulterated truth of God. We need to bring the righteousness of God, the love of God, the truth of God. But we also have to stand guard against the things of Satan the devil. Notice what he writes here in verse 3, but if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are perishing, in whom the God of this age, or the God of this world, and that's Satan the devil, notice what he does. Notice why a one-world religion is going to come in, and why the whole world is going to worship Satan, why the whole world is going to worship the beast, why the whole world is going to go after the false prophet. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. If you do not believe that you have to live by every word of God, you don't believe Jesus Christ. If you do not believe that the Bible truly is and properly translated as we have in the Holy Bible in its original order, you don't believe. If you're not willing to obey, you don't believe. Blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And that's what we do here on Church at Home. That's what we do in the Christian Biblical Church of God. We are seeking out in the Word of God, how are we to live? How are we to serve God? How are we to love Him? What is it that He wants us to do? You see, eternal life is forever. And it's not some little game of twiddlywinks and tinker toys and board games where we can try and outsmart the other and gain most for ourselves. We need to repent to God the Father and Jesus Christ. We need to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in full payment for our sins. We need to be baptized in a covenant baptism with Jesus Christ. We need to receive the Holy Spirit of God. Is that what you want? Or will you be deceived by the coming one world religion? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. And this is Fred Coulter saying, until next time, so long, everyone.